you're the only person.
I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying.
Really bad outlook on life, and then when
I probably wouldn't if I could, cause I'm mad as hell, can't bring myself to do what it is you think I should. I know you said, can't you just get over it? It turned my whole.
America. This is Tim Wingate once again on the Republic Broadcasting Network, filling in for the traveling Michael Herzog, who I understand is rather tired from his long trip out to New Hampshire and back, delivering Randy Weaver out there to the Browns so that he could be participatory in all the events that have been going on. And you just heard, I hope, you're staying tuned through the time change and the program change here. Just heard Elaine tell everybody about how one of the residents out there is being falsely accused for a little play on words. I tell you what, you know, that kind of thing happened to me one time, too. And you say a statement, you say it in jest, you say it, maybe it's just a play on words, somebody takes it the wrong way, calls the cops, and the cops just come along and, oh, well, somebody filed a complaint. Oh, we're going to have to arrest you and put you through all the hassle of court. And, of course, you know, it gets to court, and it probably will be dismissed, but the person still goes through all the hassle and the problems. It's just ridiculous. People are oversensitive these days to things. And this woman thinking it was a threat, that's ridiculous. But anyway, nonetheless, what a great day. Listen, we've got some really good guests. We got Sheila Holm coming back. We're going to do a little housekeeping, finish up a little bit of what we were talking about. And then I got a real treat for you at the bottom of the hour here. We have Edwin Vieira. Edwin Vieira, author of Constitutional Homeland Security. We're going to have a great discussion on all these issues. Stay tuned through the break. We'll be right back on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
We're back. This is Tim Wingate on the Republic Broadcasting Network, sitting in for the traveling Michael Herzog on the American Awakening. Well, folks, before we get to our guest Sheila, I'd like to say happy summer solstice to everybody. This is a wonderful time of the year. Think about it. We've been leading from December 21st, 2006, all the way up to this point. We're at our 23.5 degree tilt on the Earth axis is giving us the longest day of the year. So everybody, just go out, enjoy the day, the sunshine. We in the Northern Hemisphere here, this is a day that a lot of people look forward to. Now, I know there's some of you out there who go, oh, that kind of pagan religioning type stuff. No, it's not. It's not astrology. It's astronomy. It's just simply an acknowledgement of the realities of the physical universe, and that is today is the summer solstice. You celebrate it and enjoy it in any way that you'd like to. Also, I like jokes, and as long as I'm able to do it, I think humor and ridicule is a wonderful way of keeping one's sense of perspective on a situation. So I got one for you here. The president, our president, goes into a library, walks up to the counter, new nice library. He goes, I'd like a cheeseburger and fries. He says in a loud, clear voice, But sir, the assistant says, this is a library. Oh, gee, I'm sorry. I'd like a cheeseburger and fries. Okay, where's the rim shot sound? Come on, you need something like that. Okay, look, got one last one, and then we're going to go to Sheila. Bush wins the election. He and Cheney are having lunch at a diner near the White House. Cheney orders heart-healthy salad. Bush leans over, looks at the menu, and says to the waitress, "Honey, could I have a quickie?" She's horrified. She says, "Mr. President, I thought your administration would bring in a new era of moral rectitude and to the White House, and now I see I was wrong, and I'm sorry I voted for you." And she marches off in a huff. Cheney leans over and goes, "George, I think it's pronounced quiche." With that, and we'll let it go, let's bring up Sheila. Hello, Sheila. How are you today?
Good afternoon.
You doing well?
Yes.
Well, I hope I made you chuckle a little bit.
You're always full of humor. Always full
of
humor.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, that's what I get from being fat and sassy, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, I wanted you to come back today primarily because we were just so intrigued with the information that you had yesterday. And I realized after we got off the air that we had not done anything to plug your website, which has got marvelous material. Also, on your website, people can order the books that you've been talking about. And what we talked about yesterday, the identity theft, I understand is a book in the process of being published. And the actual name of it is what?
The Identity Factor.
The Identity Factor. Excellent. Do you have any idea as to when that will be coming out?
So far, it goes in a process of the publishers will only publish one at a time. And my seven-step business plan was picked up. It has a foreword by Ken Blanchard, and so I think that helped push it through quicker. And so that one was picked up first. And the publishing industry does not like to even discuss a second book being published until that first book has a chance to get out in the marketplace. And so that is brand new, hot off the press, the seven-step business plan.
Well, I tell you what, you sent me some material on that, and I went online, and I looked, and I am thoroughly impressed.
Well,
thoroughly
thank you.
Impressed because,
thank you.
We've needed clarification. My daughter took a business course not too long ago in relationship to her massage therapy business that she's in the process of setting up. And, of course, in the business classes, they have you go through the process of setting up a business plan. And although there are a number of books out there on the market, they're just rather, how do I put it, labor-intensive, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Well, my clients kept saying, "You got to put your seminar in a book." And I said, "Well, there's so many business plan books out there." And they said, "Yeah, but there's nothing under 350 pages. And I said, "What?" And they said, "Just go and check." And it's so hard to get the terminology down. It's so hard for people who haven't been through the process. And because I've been dealing with identity theft for 15 years, that's why I think it took us a while to get through the details yesterday, is that in helping all of these businesses, it's much easier if you make it a game, because the whole process of life is a game. So I make it a real simple, like a game board. It's seven steps, and it's done very simply. You get the terminology down, and then you get to fill in the blanks. Then you get to see case studies on what we've done to tweak businesses, because the business plan sounded good, but then when you put it into action, it needed some tweaking. And then there's a little bit of humor in there just to confirm the key points. So, and it's all in 128 pages, which is unheard of in the industry. But it's just very, very simple, and it brings teams together. Entire teams, in no matter what size the business is, can be completely aligned. Your family members know exactly what you're doing within your business, and it's real easy. They need to typically read the book separately, but they would do me a great favor if, when people talk about the book, if they would be asking in bookstores, "Where's your identity theft book?" Because that's how you gain the interest. If bookstores start requesting it, if you start going in, it's an inquiry process. Otherwise, they want you to do pre-orders, and I don't have an interest in talking about pre-orders of something that hasn't been published yet. So, but the book is available online. They can get it autographed and shipped out personally. And no matter how many books they order at a time, It's only charged $5, and that's for priority tracking confirmation to make sure that it gets to you properly.
Sure, that's wonderful. Well, Sheila, why don't you let everybody know how they can get a hold of you and get a hold of your book?
My website is just my name, SheilaHolm.com.
Oh, how wonderful. It makes it easy.
Mm-hmm.
Providing people remember that the ego goes before the I.
Mm-hmm. Now, several people have written about the Identity Theft DVD, and they were concerned about buying it through PayPal, but please trust that after 15 years of dealing with identity theft, my PayPal is secure for a debit or a credit card. That's not how identity theft is happening through secured sites. So people had a concern about that because they've been dealing with identity theft, but I've also been sending the press release out in the meantime to show the main statistics that truly millions of illegals are being mainstreamed into our society by abusing our Social Security numbers, and citizens are the ones responsible and have be held accountable for all of that fraud. And so I'm doing everything I can to help as many people as I can. So anyone that needs someone to speak on this, help with this, et cetera, we've received numerous requests for help with credit bureau reports and et cetera, and if they'll just email them on to me, I'll get them in with a nonprofit that'll clean up with all three bureaus. So
oh, that's wonderful.
I'll do everything I can to help, because until we all start working with each other, until we unite together about this, we're isolated and alone, and we won't get anywhere.
You know, that's you bring up a good point, and that is working together.
Mm-hmm.
So many people seem to be working in what we'll call the liberty, freedom, ostensibly the patriot movement, seem to be working at cross purposes to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of egos involved.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people want credit for
mm-hmm.
things that other people do. They try to do that. I've encountered that. I noticed I was just for fun Googling one of the articles I wrote for StrikeTheRoot.com, and it came up with somebody, not at Strike the Root, but in the process of Googling it, I found somebody else who had the article posted, and they'd put their name as the author.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, what mm-hmm. do I do about that? Do it. I can email them, you know, and raise a stink and let them know, hey, I caught you, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, sometimes it's the message that's important, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, got to drop the ego at the door. And the biggest thing that I can say about all of this is, I can't take credit for any of it. I can't take credit for the wisdom and knowledge about identity theft. It's clearly God that helped me through this path. It's clearly God that's provided for me and sustained me in the midst of everybody trying to take everything away from me multiple times. But the thing about all of this, and especially about identity theft, when it has to do with your own finances and your own credit, and that links directly to what you think is your credibility, and what you think is what other people think of you, it becomes all wrapped up together, and it stays as a personal thing. And that's been the hardest thing to understand. But God can send us forth without reputation, and our only identity, our only true identity, is in God and in Christ. And there's absolutely no way through any of this alone. There's absolutely no way through this alone.
Right, absolutely. The more of us who stand together, the stronger we are.
Mm-hmm.
And it does mean we have to lay our egos down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that don't fight for getting credit for what you did or what you contributed
mm-hmm.
in the right way. But if the move toward freedom will be sacrificed because
mm-hmm.
you're insisting on creating division,
mm-hmm.
then you know, there's a problem. And those who cause
right.
division are not necessarily those who bring up the truth. It's
mm-hmm.
usually those who react badly to the
mm-hmm.
truth being brought up
mm-hmm.
that cause division.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important thing to... Well, listen, we're going to go to a break, folks. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. Stay tuned, and we'll finish up with Sheila Holm, and maybe we'll have some solutions, Sheila.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Hang on, everybody.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
All right, everybody, we're back, and we're back here with Sheila Holm. And Sheila, I understand we have a caller on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Fred from Philadelphia.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing, Tim?
Good. We only have about five
okay.
minutes. So.
Okay, I want to get right to the point. I think that the experience that I had when I called yesterday and I talked about the utility. The retail store that had a utility
right.
Yes. agent there. This was for he had called the electric credit, the electric utility credit
yes.
department, not the phone. And my main the main thing to remember is that the these people that have access to utility credit departments and databases can then use that information for ID theft. It's not that they're using it for their own purpose to steal. It's that they can forward that for ID theft, ID document
question,
theft,
Fred?
Passports, and stuff like
right.
that.
Fred, I think I think we understood that. So,
right.
Do you have a question?
It's just that I think in getting new legislation or correcting this, we have to keep this in mind. That it's also a national security.
But there's already
issue.
Legislation
okay.
protecting the credit companies, and they can sell to all of their affiliates. And Citibank and Bank of America, bigger businesses like that also have cards, These organizations have hundreds of thousands of affiliates, like 150,000, 167,000, and they can sell and share information with all of their affiliates. They have the legal right to do that.
How would we make legislation with something like that? Fred, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Well, Sheila, that brings us to really to the point of, you know, solutions.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do? I think Fred was in a situation there where he observed something and he tried to report it. The only thing he could do is file a personal complaint, you know,
right,
and have that dragged into court. Beyond
right, and
that,
we can't. It's not possible as an individual citizen to come up against utilities holding the information within or sharing the information. Again, we have to come together. There's a process called the tipping point. We have to reach a point where enough citizens are upset. You see, in 1998, we could have stopped identity theft cold. We had the information, et cetera, but less than a million people have been impacted, and there wasn't enough people damaged and devastated and destroyed and not enough impact to our economy. But by 2002, in the year 2002 alone, nearly 10 million citizens were impacted, which is more than double of 2001 when the first penal codes were in effect to actually arrest someone from the 1998 law. I mean, this is the kind of time frame that
right,
the weeks just keep passing.
Well,
and,
it seems to me, as you and I had talked, is
right,
that we need to take matters into our own hands, and you
exactly,
have a suggestion for that, right?
We have to, as citizens, put together our own Consumers Credit Bureau. The consumer credit bureaus that are in place right now merely accept information that is sent in, and that includes the fraud application that uses your Social Security number and my Social Security number for someone else's fraudulent benefit. And what that does is that creates a parallel report to our credit bureau report at the same time. So any credit source, any credit card company, any car dealership, any mortgage lending company, the legal ones in the United States, do not know that when the credit bureau is issuing a report to them, they don't know it's a fraud report. So what I've proven is the credit bureaus are actually validating the fraud every time they send out that fraud report. And in the year 2002 alone, businesses reported $50 billion in losses. Citizens spend $6,000 to $7,000 in phone calls, letters, and work and effort that doesn't include anything other than actual costs, spend $6,000 to $7,000 apiece trying to clear up their credit and are not able to. And that figure represents another $60 to $70 billion. So I don't know what anyone's waiting for regarding
well,
the level of devastation to do something.
The system is obviously broken, and we, the people, need to take it back in our own hands. One of the other suggestions I think you and I talked about off the air was, folks, just quit using Federal Reserve notes and Federal Reserve credit units as much as you can. There are alternative forms of exchange
mm-hmm,
out there.
Now, what the citizens need to know is that foreign nationals who've now used those identity theft records are being assisted with government dollars. It's HUD ACORN program, HUD, Housing and Urban Development, ACORN program. And what they're doing is they're being paid to go out and help these foreign nationals, the lower income people they're calling them, because they have unreported income. And they're helping these people convert those fraud records that have destroyed our records over to a taxpayer ID record, which the government does protect. And
like our government
then they're giving
is more
them a low
interest. In...
Then they're giving them a low interest loan. So while I've been
oh
in integrity, paying 15% on my mortgage loan, while I prove that my newest Social Security number is actually
right,
me and that I can pay my bills, including a 15% mortgage, they're getting low interest loan of 3%.
That's ridiculous.
Now you and I can't even get below 6% at this point, but
no,
they're able to get these subsidized loans. And these programs have been put into effect, and our government is using our tax dollars to subsidize these programs. And
well, you know, Sheila, I have to interrupt you because we're about ready to go to a break.
Yes.
I want to thank you for coming back on again. And once again, folks, her website where you can obtain her books, you're still doing seminars, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay, you can contact Sheila Holm at www.sheilaholm.com.
And if you make requests for that identity theft book, we'll do everything we can to get it in your hands.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much, Sheila, for being with us again. And we will be talking with you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And, folks, we'll be coming back after the break.
Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tim Wingate on the Republic Broadcasting Network, sitting in for the traveling Michael Herzog on the American Awakening. My next guest for the next hour and a half is somebody I am just absolutely pleased and happy to have on the program. I have been a big fan of his material since I accidentally encountered him writing for News with Views and articles that he's published. I have with us Edwin Vieira, Jr. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this gentleman. He holds 4 degrees from Harvard. And for more than 30 years, he's practiced law with an emphasis on constitutional issues. In the Supreme Court of the United States, he successfully argued or briefed cases that have led to landmark decisions. I'll let him tell you about that. I'll give you a bunch of names, and you probably wouldn't know what they meant. But they are landmark decisions. He's written numerous monographs, articles, and scholarly journals. He's lectured throughout the country. You've also seen him in Aaron Russo's film, America, Freedom to Fascism. He's one of the gentlemen who is interviewed in that as well. So I think if you can place the name with the face as you listen to him talk today. I think you'll be wonderfully surprised and happy to hear him. He has written several books. One of the books, though, the latest one, is the one that we will be talking about probably a little bit more next hour, so stay through. But it's Constitutional Homeland Security. And he has a plan and a way by which we Americans can peacefully take back our country. And I think it's an excellent idea and plan. Now, as I said, I got turned on to him through News with Views article, and this book, I guess, is a compilation of several of the articles that he had originally published on News with Views. And so I'm just pleased to have a copy of that book, by which I got through a friend of mine who is also with us today. He's been a big fan of Edwin's as well, and kind of turned me on to that, the fact that the book was even available. I was like, oh, wow, great, so I don't have to download and print it out and put it together in a binder and try to make my own little book. I have a friend of mine from the Chicago area as well. He's a member of our local chapter of Freedom Force International. I have, and he's with us as well, and his name is Rick. So, Edwin, are you with us here? Mr. Vieira.
Yes, right here.
Oh, there you are. Had to give our board guy time to bring you on. How do you like to be addressed, sir? Doctor? Lawyer? Esquire?
Oh, you can just call me Edwin. That's my name.
Okay. Very good. Makes it simple, doesn't it?
Sure.
You'll have to forgive me if occasionally I slip into Edward, simply because I've been dealing with Ed and Elaine Brown, and
mm-hmm.
he likes to go by Edward Lewis, Living Soul. So please forgive me if I accidentally slip. And I'd like to bring up also at this time, Rick. Are you with us, Rick?
I'm there. Rick Waz is here.
Rick Waz. Okay. Well, you know, Rick and I have known each other for many years, and Rick is one of the people who really does like to practice a certain amount of discretion and anonymity. So I didn't want to say your last name in case that was something you didn't want to put out, but now that you
I appreciate that, but if Edwin's going to give his name, I'll give mine.
Okay, excellent. Mr. Vieira,
yes.
I am so pleased to have you on the program with us. And you and I were talking a little bit about yesterday in preparation for the program. Of course, this program comes on right after Ed and Elaine Brown's program is on. And we were talking about possibilities and ways that really this whole situation could be resolved if people were to address it from a lawful and a constitutional manner. And would you please expound on that for us?
Well, I think you have to add commonsensical as well to that list, because quite
okay.
a bit of what seems to be going on up there is, it's crossed the line of reasonableness. The major problem that I see is, of course, you have the federal authorities coming in with their tactical units. My news comes across the internet primarily, so maybe there's more to it than I have heard about. But of course,
let me just interrupt, because you probably weren't listening into the Ed and Elaine program. Elaine just informed everybody in just the last few minutes of the program that they did inform the city council there that they had not done due diligence, had not followed the law, in that they had not given permission to the IRS or the federals to come in and inhabit the land there around the Browns, and that they had a fiduciary responsibility to the people to give permission or not. And so at least the council, the local city council, has been made aware of this.
Well, yes, they have, and now, of course, the question is, what will they do with that information? I'm looking at this from the point of view of first, any reasonable person wants to eliminate the possibility of some kind of violent confrontation in which people are injured, whether the Browns or others, including the federal agents. I mean, no one is interested in seeing anyone be hurt. From what I think is a reasonable perspective, it's ridiculous to suggest that any tax bill in this country is worth a human life. I mean, that's the premise from which I start. So the question is how to defuse what is obviously a situation that could very easily go to a violent confrontation in which all bets are off in terms of what happens. And I think the person, certainly if I were in his shoes, I would think the person who has the major responsibility here is the governor of New Hampshire. Because I seriously doubt that the local officials or the local sheriff is going to take the responsibility, personal responsibility, for confronting these federal agents and federal agencies. Whereas the governor is certainly in a position, speaking as he does for the entire state, to assume that responsibility. He also has the responsibility for maintaining public order in the state. And I think that that his first move should be to come to that property and essentially stake it out.
Talking about the governor, John Lynch.
Yeah, we're talking about the governor.
Okay.
Of course, if he doesn't want to come, he can send some representative, but I would think under the circumstances here, it would be wise for him to appear initially. And have the state police, because that's the organized law enforcement body that he has most immediate control over, have the state police essentially cordon off the Brown property and tell the federal officials, let's back off. Go back to your command post at some hotel, go back to your federal offices, whatever your staging area is, go back there and just cool it, gentlemen. We're not dealing with Dillinger in the Brown household. We're not dealing with Osama bin Laden. We're dealing with a completely different type of situation which does not require a massive show of paramilitary force. That's number one. And we're simply not going to have that circumstance here in the state of New Hampshire. So the state police would essentially cordon that off and demilitarize that zone. Secondly, to be on the side of fairness, if you will, and reasonableness, I think the governor should send a representative in, talk to the Browns, and say, listen, you may have some people here who have come in who may not be the kind of people that we want to be present under these circumstances. And I won't mention any names. If you've been on the Internet, you may have some idea of the type of people I'm talking about. And ask the Browns to ask those people to leave the premises, so that we really de-escalate the possibility of the use of force anywhere. Not that I would, as governor, stop them from having visitors, you know, newsmen or friends or whatever. They can certainly have contact with the outside world. But certain types of people you don't want there because they may be increasing the probability of an untoward situation.
Well, not only that, but there could be agent provocateurs.
They could be agent provocateurs. They could be people who are psychologically unbalanced. Who knows, right?
Right.
And under these circumstances where the tension has already been raised to a very high level, you don't want to have something in there that could trip the spring, as it were, on the mechanism, and then all hell breaks loose. So that's step number one. Defuse the situation. Demilitarize the situation. Status quo. The Browns are where they are. That's fine. The federal officials are someplace else. And to make sure that everything is going to be controlled, state law enforcement officials directly under the governor are going to cordon off that area. Now, number two, I, as the governor, would tell my attorney general, get a little group together, and I want you to go and talk to the people in the U.S. Department of Justice, not to the local prosecutor, not to the U.S. attorney that dealt with this case. He obviously is on the wrong side in terms of personal interest and so forth and so on. I want this case reviewed by my people and people in the Department of Justice. That is the case that the Browns were involved in. They were supposedly convicted of these tax violations. I want that reviewed because, at least from what I know, not having been involved in the case, not having been privy to the entire record, but what I've been able to read coming out in the news, it's another one of these stinkers, all right?
Yeah.
It's another one in which due process has been essentially kicked out the door, and you know, you're guilty simply because you're there. And I would ask the question, I would have my attorney general people ask the question to the folks in the Department of Justice, look, what this really boils down to and what the real problem is, not only that the Browns are facing, but millions of people throughout the country who are watching this, is the question of where is the law that requires these individuals in their situation to pay this kind of a tax. It should be the first step in any one of these cases for the government to prove that based on the economic circumstances of the individuals involved, here's a set of statutes and regulations, and if we lay these out on the table and we kind of go through them in the way you'd march along the board of a Monopoly game, we get from what they did economically to this conclusion that they owe taxes and must file returns of some kind and make payments.
And ironically, this basic first step that should be done is never done.
And the Browns aren't the only ones that have gone through this. That's what makes this really of national importance, besides, of course, the fact that some people may be killed. But it makes it of national importance because it applies to hundreds of thousands or millions of people, and there have been numerous cases of this kind where the defendants have asked that simple question, essentially, show me the law, and then I'll pay, or I'll admit that I had to make these filings or whatever it is. And the attitude of the people coming out of the federal government, the prosecutorial forces out of the federal government, is we don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It's just going to be assumed that you owe this, you didn't file, you didn't pay, therefore you're guilty. And that's the position these judges take. If I were a federal judge sitting there, that's the first question I'd ask when they walk in with their indictment. How are you going to prove this, Mr. Prosecutor? I want to know what you're going to put on to prove that this man had a liability that he failed to meet.
Well, that's providing you weren't a corrupt federal judge.
Well, I'm talking about myself as a federal judge, which excludes the possibility that I would be a corrupt federal judge. All right, so that's step number two. They have the place cordoned off. We've defused the paramilitary problem. The Attorney General's office from New Hampshire goes and talks to the people up in Washington, or people from, send somebody down to New Hampshire to talk to them, and they come up with that analysis. And then I would say that what they're going to find is that that case was not properly handled, so they need to go back in front of that judge, a motion from the Attorney General of the United States to have that case dismissed. Let's go back to square one with these people. And if the IRS has a claim against them that is legitimate, if there is an argument on both sides as to whether they actually owe taxes for the work that they have done, the salaries they've received, what have you, then the appropriate step, I think, to take is for the IRS to proceed civilly. All right? You've got a lot of questions
rather than
in this case.
Quasi-
a lot of questions in this case that ought to be decided in a civil forum before they start sending people clad in military-type uniforms with machine guns.
Now, yes, but one of the biggest hurdles to get over is ego. The government's ego. When you're asking them to back off, you're asking them to put away their ego.
I understand that, and that's why I would say it's important for the governor of the state to do it, because, of course, he represents, at least in principle, politically, philosophically, he represents the state and all the people in it. This is not just some local sheriff. It's not just some local town council who, from the federal government's point of view, are really small potatoes. This is the chief executive officer of one of the 50 states.
Okay.
And if this fellow doesn't have the political clout, the moral clout, if you will, the constitutional clout, to get some people in the federal government talking about these issues, then where are we? Now, I think it's a test that needs to be done. It's an experiment
I agree.
Right?
Because it has to do with, what's the point of being a governor of a state if you're just going to roll over every time the feds make a demand?
That's right. Now, are they simply going to come in
state, then?
Based on their own interpretation of a law that apparently has never actually been proven to exist?
Well, I want to play devil's advocate here for a couple minutes before we go to the next break. And that is, they claim that the law does exist. They claim that when they string together their legal theory, it shows that you owe a law. Now, I'm assuming, Edwin, that you've encountered their argument. What are the fallacies in their argument of the law?
Well, I think the fallacy in the basic argument is that in every criminal case we're talking about here, you have to establish all the elements of liability. So I'm the defendant in this criminal case, and I can hold the prosecutor's feet to the fire and say, well, wait a minute, you don't start over here at the filing requirement. You start at the beginning, which is analyzing my economic circumstances in terms of, and then you tell me what, section such and such, section so and so. Let's go through this to establish that I actually have the liability that triggers the filing requirement, that triggers the payment requirement, right? That's what interests me. Certainly, if I were a federal prosecutor, I would nip all this in the bud by doing that. I'd have a large chart or one of those PowerPoint presentations
right.
that would just march through each one of the steps, you know, Section 2, Section 7, and here's how we do it for the Browns. And then we get to regulation such and such, and that says this, ah, you see, now that's why they have to do such. And finally, we come down to the requirement of filing. I've proven it all. Did they file? They admit they didn't. Therefore, they're here in this courtroom.
We're talking about a legal or a logic flow chart, aren't we?
Exactly. Exactly. And in every case I've ever done, and whether they've gone to the Supreme Court of the United States or not, that's the first thing that a lawyer does. He lays out the facts that he has on one line, as it were, and on another line he lays out the statutes, regulations, and so forth that he's going to need to establish his legal claim. And then he connects the particular requirements of the statute or regulation to the facts he thinks he can prove, the documents, the witnesses, whatever it may be, because he's got to meet those two tracks. The railroad does not work without two tracks. There's the legal track, and there's the evidentiary track. And it's
yeah,
not now, and in these tax cases, they seem to be concerned only with an evidentiary track, which starts
right.
way down the line. Did the man file the return? No, he didn't. Ergo, he's guilty. Guilty of what?
Okay,
right?
Hang on.
You see that question, guilty of what?
Edwin, hang
yeah.
on. Are we to a break, gentlemen? Ken?
Give me a second.
Okay. Because I'm looking at the clock, and I'm going, I'm hearing stuff in the phone, and I'm going, okay.
you're saying this isn't NBC radio.
No, it's by the people for the people.
We got a guy on a bicycle in the back office pedaling.
Here we go.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
I'm not ready to make nice.
Okay, everybody. We're back with Edwin Vieira and Rick Waz, and we were discussing what could be done, what should be done, actually, with New Hampshire and the Browns. And Edwin was talking about creating a legal schematic or a flow chart, if you will. When I was in argumentation, we used to use these for creating your argument. You start off with premises, you build your argument or your syllogism, and then you come to your conclusion. And how you do that depends on the outcome, actually. And I won't get into all the argumentation terms, but as Edwin said, he's done that for every one of his cases. Now, Edwin, I understand that you've argued before the United States Supreme Court several times. How many times has that been?
Oh, let's see. We had four cases that went all the way through to actually standing in front of them. I mean, a lot of cases that go to the Supreme Court end up going out on paperwork. They don't even give oral arguments in all the cases that they decide. I've had four of them.
And you've stood before them how many times then? Was that four?
Four, yeah.
Four times. And how many of the cases that you have presented to the Supreme Court, standing or by paper, have you won?
Well, all the ones standing, I've won three out of four. Actually, I should have won the fourth one. That was the best case of all, but it was highly politically charged, so I understand the way it came out the way it did. It had nothing to do with the merits, but three out of four. So that's not too bad. I guess that gets you into the Baseball Hall of Fame. if you're hitting a
750
average, so I guess that's all right.
Well, the reason I brought that up was because, folks, he knows what he's talking about. And you don't go and argue before the Supreme Court four times and win three out of four because you have circular arguments and you flop together things that are not related to each other, and you just pick and choose out of a cafeteria style, out of the law, stringing it together and say, therefore, my client is right or wrong. What say you? It's something that takes logic and reason, and it doesn't seem, Edwin, that that's gone out the window in our society today, the ability to reason?
Well, it's interesting that it's gone out the window to a large extent even in the legal profession, which should be dominated by reason, but certainly even to a greater degree in the general public. And of course, I suppose you can attribute that to the, shall I say, systematic dumbing down of the educational process in this country. Once you had the dominance of the major teachers' unions, the system was all downhill from there. Those organizations are not particularly interested in teaching people to think. They're particularly interested in gaining power for themselves. It's another political game. Actually, a lot of the litigation I've done is against them. National Education Association, American Federation of Teachers. So I know that rather from the inside out, as it were.
Right.
But this Brown situation is not really one even of legal logic. It doesn't require you to have some kind of a law school degree to figure out what needs to be done here.
Right.
Simply because you have a confrontation that's totally unnecessary. And in fact, I would think if I were up there in the Department of Justice, I would love to be given the opportunity to show the country that yes, we're quite correct in this, in what we're claiming about
Ed, we're breaking at the top of the hour. We'll be back, folks, on the Republic Broadcasting Network with Edwin Vieira and Rick Waz, and we're going to get into constitutional homeland security. Stick with us, Republic Broadcasting Network.
A price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back.
With